1 Corinthians chapter number 16 will be where we will begin our service. I'm excited about this message tonight. I believe that God has led us this direction. I'm encouraged by your presence. And I wanted to be sure to announce this morning what we would be talking about. And I think it would be an important subject. I think it will be tremendously helpful in your personal walk with the Lord, your personal appreciation of the Lord, your understanding of the church of God, and the understanding of the local New Testament church. And it's funny, we receive people from all walks of life here in South Florida. And so some of you have come to our church, and you've come to our church from either other Baptist churches, and sometimes people come from, say, non-denominational churches, or sometimes people come from some of the other churches here in the community, or transfers in, and we do things a certain way. And it's funny, I think the greatest testimony to our church is that when people walk in, they sense the presence of God. And I never take that for granted. If you bring a guest, I want you to be assured that when your guest shows up, they'll sit in a service where God will be present. I think that's important for our own lives and be important for our guests. But I find a need tonight to be able to take us and put us all on the same page. We are talking about faith promise missions. We're talking about worldwide evangelism. We're talking about those kind of things. And I'm realizing that there's so much information, and I don't have enough time to get through it all, that I kind of just felt in my heart tonight that we needed to have a family moment and kind of put everybody on the same page. And I'm going to try my best, the Spirit of God enabling me, to answer some questions specifically that deal in the area of the order in organization of finances within a church. I think it's important that you comprehend how the offering comes in. I think it's important for you to comprehend how things work intricately with the different parts to the whole. And so I want to try to do that. And I know that's important for you as God moves on your heart to continue in obedience and in giving, especially as we work toward missions, so that you're blessed and I'm blessed and together we're blessed as a church. And so I'm not sure how much you know about church finances. I used to think, well, they don't ever ask me any questions, so I guess no questions are good things. I'm one of the very privileged pastors that pastor people that are gracious and kind and leadable. Is leadable a word? If not, I just made it up. Leadable. And I appreciate that. But I'm learning that there is a little bit of confusion in how we're organizing our personal selves toward the area of financing. And what I want to try to do tonight is teach us so we're all on the same page. So I thought I would start kind of simple, and then I'll go to the Word of God. Pastor, what happens after we take the offering at our church? Where's the offering go? I see these men go in the back doors. What do? Split it up evenly and they leave? No. Some churches walk down and they put the offering right here. Now, if you did that to me, I'd be looking the whole time I'm preaching, trying to think, okay, did we get a good one or did we get a bad one today? The men come, they take an offering. We only take an offering on Sunday mornings. We only take an offering on Sunday night. On Wednesday nights, we put a box in the back, and some people do give on Wednesday nights, and they're unable to do so on Sunday. But the offering is taken. It's taken to a secured location, and it is secured. And then on a Sunday, most of the time it's after the evening service in our church, the deacons count the offering. And there'll be three or four of them there. Sometimes, on a rare occasion, we may have to ask somebody to help us. Would be either they've served as a deacon before, or would be considered leadership if we're short of people. But they count the offering, and then they secure it. And we don't have to go to the bank anymore. Used to you had to worry about the preacher running off with the money when he went to the bank. Now the bank comes to us. So we have a little machine back there in the office, and I told somebody this the other day, and what we do is we just run your check through that machine tomorrow, and it just sucks that money right out of your bank account and right into the church account, and that's how it does. We can take a stack of 50, 60 checks, and Mary Hicks does that. I don't count the money. I don't see the offering. I don't write checks. I'm not on the bank account to write checks. Any check that gets sent out of here, it has to be signed by our men, so there's a divide there. But they go ahead and they run it through, and then the bank sends a courier in the morning to pick up the cash, and they take the cash to the bank. And we don't ever go to the bank anymore. It's kind of nice. I kind of enjoy that, how that works out. And so they do. Then afterwards, on Monday, Mary Hicks, I need an offering envelope. Could you hand me one? I'm going to need that throughout the service tonight. Mary Hicks will take your offering envelope, and hopefully and prayerfully, and especially after tonight, you will have written on your offering envelope how you believe the Lord wants you to steward the finances. So, you know, sometimes people just put in here and they'll just put an amount on the line and there'll be nothing in these blanks. And we just put that money in the general fund. But she takes your card, she takes your envelope. And if you have offering envelopes, you're a member or a regular attender, you have a number right here and that's tied to your name. And then she takes and she begins to post it on the computer. How many receive a quarterly statement of giving from? Okay, so you get your quarterly statements. So she goes ahead and does that. And then she puts the part that goes to tithes, puts the part that goes to missions, puts the part that goes to Haiti. She's the one that does all of that recording. And so we try to get all of that done by sometime on Tuesday, so we have a good understanding of what takes place. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 1. I want to give you some biblical foundation for what I'm doing tonight. Paul, writing to this church, by the way, he started this church. He loved this church. He ministered to this church. He writes in verse number 1, "Now, concerning the collection of the saints," the collection for the saints, "as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." So Paul is instructing them and ordering them and giving them some detail as to how to steward the finances. Verse number 2. "Upon the first day of the week," that would be what class? Sunday. Okay, good. "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Now, this is talking about an offering that was going to be a missions offering that was going to go to help the churches here, and he's going to come back and get this thing. Verse 3, "And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem." So Paul says, now on the first day of the week, I want you to receive the offering. I want you to find somebody that you trust to be able to steward that offering. When I come, I'm going to meet that man, and look at verse number 4. "And if it be meet," that word meet is fit, "that I go also, they shall go with me." Where are they going? They're going to take that offering unto Jerusalem. And so Paul thought it important to give some teaching and some direction to this church. And tonight I see it important to give some teaching and some direction for us. So let me start a little bit by helping you to understand. In the Bible, there's mentioned in Malachi the words tithes and offerings. Have you heard that before? Okay, shake your head. All right. So I would like to take the tithe tonight and kind of start with that, and then I'm going to go over into the offerings. I got all these questions written on my paper. And so I want to go through here and answer them and teach you some things about the tithe. Go to Malachi chapter number 3. I think this is important that you see, you know, in the Word of God how this is going to play out. Malachi chapter 3, if you look at verse number 8, the Bible says, "Will a man rob God?" Speaking to those people. "Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings." Okay, so here's our two words mentioned, tithes and offerings. Now, you need to understand, and for church finances, that we separate these things called tithes and offerings. The tithe is the 10% that is the tenth of our increase. Amen? We understand that. All right, let me help you with some things so you can kind of know about your tithe. Pastor, Do I need to give, do I need to bring all of the tithe to the church? Can I send tithe to different places that are not the church, but can I send them around? Go to Malachi chapter 3. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, bring ye, what's the next word? All the tithe into the storehouse. So we believe in Plantation Baptist in storehouse tithing. That means if you're a member of a church, that tithe, the 10% that belongs to God, is to be brought to your local New Testament church. That's where it goes. Well, Pastor, I bring like 5% here, and then I do 5% over here. No, the whole is bring all of it. That is the tithe. In your mind, you have to understand that tithe is tied to the person of Christ, and the direction is given to us to bring that into the church. What does the church do with tithes? Okay, we have a general fund. In our general fund, the tithe is used to administer the work that goes on here. So when you bring tithe to the church, did a light just go out? No. Okay. When you bring tithe to the church, that tithe, according to the Old Testament too, is to pays the light bill. It takes care of the administration needs of our church. So in this section right here on your envelope, when you figure out what that tithe is, your 10%, and you mark it down, that goes in to pay salaries, that goes in to do all of the administration of that. And that is how we use that. I have some other questions here. Pastor, what if I'm absent one Sunday? Do I need to make up the tithe, or do I just get a freebie? Listen, every question I've got on this paper, somebody's asked me in the last month. Okay? So I'm coming to you tonight with that. The answer to that is no, you don't get a freebie. If you're absent, then the next time you come, you ought to bring the tithe that's off of that, and then the current tithe. Some people mail their tithe in when they're absent. They do. It's a great day when I go to the mailbox and there's envelopes and I know they've been absent. I'm like, praise the Lord, you know. But some people mail it in. Some people just combine it the next week and write it. But just because I'm absent doesn't give me an opportunity to be able to not do that. Pastor, we have a special need. We're gonna be paying some of these for these walls over here. And I want to be able to, let's say my tithe is $100. Is it okay for me to take $50 of my tithe and give it there? But then on my envelope, can I take the other $50 and write it over here for the special offering for the doors? The answer to that is no. The tithe belongs to who? The Lord. So you want to be very, very careful about feeling freedom to divide that tithe. Well, Pastor, my tithe is a lot of money, and you know, it could be a lot of money or it could be a little money, but understand this, it belongs fully to the Lord. So be careful about that. And sometimes, here's what will happen. Okay, our walls over here cost $50,000 and we wanna pay for them. Of course we wanna pay for them. But we have a budget of a general fund budget, and so we sit down, and you need to pray for me and the deacons. We're going to be doing this here pretty soon, and we pray as to how much tithe we think that God will send in, and we begin to budget that money, and so we count, the church counts on the tithe from God's people. And so when you, oh, this is great, rob Peter to pay, it hurts. Hurts. That's not understanding church finances. Well, okay, that the tithe, and I'm part of the church here, so this is what I give, so I'm going to give this $100. But if you jack $50 of that and want to specifically put it over here toward that, then we have all of these other needs that go on. So don't do that. You ought to be very, very understanding and respectful of that whole tenth that God has. And we get all of that from Malachi chapter number 3. Then let me get my other one here. Well, Pastor, what about a special offering? If you take a special offering, special offerings are to be over and above our tithes. And we'll get that in just a moment when it comes to those offerings. So that tithe, when you think church finance, you need to understand that the tithe that belongs to God goes to administer the church. It goes to for evangelism. It goes for Sunday school. It goes for Awana. It goes for senior saints. It goes for the light. It goes for the care. It goes for all of those things. And the church has needs. It takes money to run a church. I'm going to tell you right now, it takes money to run a church. And so you need to see you as being valuable to, well, Pastor, my tithe's only $10. That's irrelevant. It's not that. It's the blessing of obedience. That, and it brings and God looks at that church and our church, and he says, man, those people, they are obedient, and they're trusting me. And so then that's how that works. So you think when you fill out your thing and you put tithes, you know that tithe is going to the general fund. I better not touch it. If I want to give extra, then I give over and above that. If I miss a week, then I want to make sure that I bring that the following week or so on. It's faithful in going along those lines. Now, I should have a pen up here to cross all these questions off. I got them all written down. Let me just read this minute. Let's talk about, can I give cash? That's one of my favorite subjects, so let's talk about that. Pastor, do I have to write a check or can I give cash? Do you know that any cash you put in an envelope, we are able to record for you? But if you just lump cash in the offering plate, we don't know who that is. But you can write a check or put cash in these things and deliver where you want these to go. And as long as it's in this envelope with either your name or with your number on top there, we are able to record that properly with the government. Do you understand that? You got that? Okay. Second thing, helping us understand. So basically what I need you to understand is this. When you take from the tithe to do any other good work, I mean good work, that is transgressing what God said when bring all the tithe in there, and that doesn't really help the church. That we have good intentions, but to rob Peter to pay Paul then makes Peter short. And so I'm trying to get you on the page. Are you with me? Okay, all right. Let's go over here now and talk about offerings. Offerings divide up in different ways. Offerings divide up in world missions offerings. Sometimes we take a building fund offering. Sometimes we take a special offering. Sometimes we do whatever. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 teaches me that offerings come from love. Now, offering, you do have some direction as to what you want to do. So let's say that we take an offering for Haiti. And you want to give an offering for Haiti. That is great. You can do that. But that offering ought not to be within the tithe. And then that offering ought not to also be already committed faith promise funds. If we take a special offering, that offering is just that special. You say, Pastor, good night. You could start giving a lot of money in this church. Well, we want to give as the Lord leads. That's exactly what we want to do. But I'm trying to help you understand how this works out. So offerings, let's talk about faith promise offerings. How does this affect us? We make a vow and a commitment at the end of this month that we believe that God is going to give through us $10 a week for missions. That's what we believe. Well, if I turn that card in and I make that vow, according to Ecclesiastes and according to Psalms, I need to keep my vow, right? Okay, but this is happening to us. I know it's happening because I've talked to two people and they've said it's happened to them. Same mentality. Well, we see it as missions money, and so we want to go ahead and take some of that faith promise and give it over to mission to Haiti. That's not what Brother Neely wants you to do. That's not what I want you to do. That's not what the Lord wants you to do. When you have already committed faith promise missions funds, our church made some decisions based on that. Our men, we met and we said, okay, our promises and commitments came in at $95,000. And so this is how many missionaries we can take on inside of that money. And we faithfully want to give them that money based on yours and my commitment. Do you understand that? We do not support missionaries based on some savings fund that we have or excess money. At the end of September, when everybody turns in their card, if it comes to $10,000, then we got to cut a whole lot of missionaries. Or if it comes to more than $100,000, then we can take on more missionaries. But it's totally up to what we do as a church as to how we go. So when you say, well, this week I'm going to take some of that faith promise and I'm going to give it over here. Okay, you made a vow, so you need to be careful with your own relationship to the Lord, how that will affect you. And then the same principle. Then, yes, we may be going up over here in some special, but we're going down here in our faith promise and we're having a hard time. So you got to understand that money that's being committed, people are counting on that around the world to get the gospel out. Are you with me? All right, amen. Somebody just passed out. I'll try to get more exciting up there than what we're doing. Okay, so you don't want to. Well, Pastor, I want to give to something else. I don't want to give to Faith Promise Missions. All right. I believe I can show you from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Somebody asked me this question. Does all of my giving have to go through Plantation Baptist Church? The answer to that is absolutely not. No. Man, you see your neighbor, they need something and you want to go give to them, fine. If you want to give to Christian Radio, fine. If you want to give to a certain organization, fine. If God lays on your heart to give, that's no problem. But I think, and if you're going to understand the Bible and understand church finances, there's two things we do want to participate in. The Bible teaches us to participate in tithe. You don't want to give them the tithe. And the Bible does teach to participate in missions offering. I can prove that to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I think verses 11 and 12, where he says that you do the same grace also, and you also give to missions. So don't let my outside giving neglect giving to world missions through my local church. I believe the Bible teaches that every single one of us ought to be involved in worldwide missions giving. Okay, so I know when they get on television, you ought to give, but it ought to be able to give on top of that. Don't substitute local New Testament missions for something else, and don't take from what you've promised already to go do something else. Those are good things, but they're just not proper things. And I'm trying to get you to understand how it works in the church. In that tithe, that general budget, that's where we are, and we don't touch that, and that belongs to the Lord. I believe this. I believe that God has put enough tithe in this church to meet every single need we will ever have. I don't believe that God uses outside organizations to fund church needs. Now, I think that if our church, we got an architect right now working on some drawings for us, and I'm going to bring those to you and show you some things later. And if it costs us $500,000, I think that God will pump that $500,000 into our lives, and we will give it, and we will be enlarged, and God will meet that need. That's what I find him doing in the Word of God. But I need to comprehend that what that tithe is, no matter what our needs are, that needs to go there, and I don't touch it. If I've committed to faith promise, don't rob Peter again to pay Paul because I got missionaries counting on that. But, oh, I sure do want to give over here to this organization. Do you mean I got to keep giving and keep giving and keep giving? No, you just do what you believe the Lord does. Well, Pastor, I'm going to run out of money. Oh, I was hoping you would think that. Go to Luke chapter 6. Let me show you something. Come on. This is good. I don't know how long I've been waiting to clear the air on these subjects. Look at verse number 38. Give, and you are going to run out of money. Does your Bible say that? No. Let's read the whole verse out loud, everybody together. And I mean everybody. Here we go. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Jesus is saying you cannot outgive God, and God's people would say amen to that. All right, so listen, man, if you're sitting in that pew and God leads on your heart to give, or God brings a need across for you to give, if you will by faith give to that need, then God will meet that need and God will bless that. And God is not going to let you outgive him. he will respond to do so. So we've got the tithe, and that's tied to our general budget, to the administration. We're responsible to bring that into the church, not to ship it anywhere, bring it. We've got faith promise. That's a vow that I've made. And even though I've got other good ministries, I've got missionaries, and I've got people counting on my weekly commitment to that, and I better not touch that. Not all the giving has to go through the church, but I better participate in that because that's biblical. So I got the tithe, I've got missions to giving, and if I want to give anything else, then that's fine as well. Let's talk about, I'm running out of questions, I'm getting down to the end. Let's talk about special offerings for missionaries when they come through. Pastor, when we have a missionary stand up here and he preaches and we take an offering, what do we do for him? When any missionary comes in, we got to care for their hotel, we got to care for their food, we got to care for their travel, and we got to give them a love offering. And sometimes we take an offering to do that, and sometimes it more than covers it. We give them all the offering. Sometimes it doesn't cover it, and we put money with it out of our missions fund, and then we give it to them. But no missionary or no preacher comes to this church, stands behind this desk, and doesn't go home cared for. We care for our people. We care for our people. And so those are some other things. I'm getting down good. Pastor, let me ask you this question. Am I allowed to designate where I want money to go? How does that designation work? This is important because sometimes people will walk up to me and ask me this. According to the federal government, did you know that when you designate a charitable contribution, it no longer becomes charitable contribution unless it is a program within the church. So like when you designate for Faith Promise Missionary Offering, because it's already something we are doing and it's a church-wide program, then that's considered a charitable contribution. But you can't come up and say, I want to give money and I want it specifically to go necessarily here. Some people try to run an organization and dictate and do all of that. But when it comes to designation, if you want to do that, it has to be according to something we do. Sometimes somebody will come up and they'll say, Pastor, I don't want you to tell anybody this, but I've been seeing so-and-so, and God's just laid them on my heart, and I want to be a blessing to them, and I want to give something special to them. Well, then I tell them, if you want to do that, then you run that through the offering, and you run that through on a benevolent thing, and then I'll make sure that it gets stewarded to them. And sometimes we do that. And some of you that are sitting here tonight, you've been recipient of that. Aren't you glad that we have loving people like that in this church? God, that's great. Man, that's great. Okay. Now, Pastor, why did you do all this? Because I'm getting ready to ask you guys and to come together in unity, and we need some good understanding of how the church operates financially and how I operate myself personally, and so I know how to work those things so I don't transgress God's word and so that the church is not hindered in what we are doing. All right, I'm terrified to do this, but I'm going to do it. Questions. Maybe you have a question that you would like to ask anything about what we've got. I want you, if you have a question, ask, and I'll try the best I can to answer it. I need you to understand and biblical giving as it ties to the church. Anybody have a question? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, Doris. Great. I get that question all the time. Pastor, if I get paid once a month, what do I do? Then I believe the next Sunday after you get paid, you bring the tithe off of that increase, and you can give a tithe once a month. I get paid every other week. Well, the next Sunday after I get my increase, I bring that offering. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Totally. Somebody else have a question? Anybody have a question? Yes, Julia. Anything we do within this church is covered. Yes, ma'am. You'd be amazed at what sometimes things come up. Be amazed. You're smiling. Somebody else? Anybody? Yeah, Brother Mike. Can be just between you and the Lord. Yes, sir. You do not have to put your name on anything. The only reason you would ever have to put your name on that is if you wanted it to be recorded for your tax break at the end of the year. A lot of people don't want that. Some people have a conviction that they don't want anything, and so they just put their tithe, and it's personal between them and the Lord. Some people will take a pew envelope, and they'll just write faith promise on there for missions, but we never know who they are because it's a pew envelope and it's cash in there or something like that. So that's totally personal. It doesn't have to be that way. That's a good question. Anybody else got a question about it? Yes, Pat. Increase. Increase is a Bible word. It was the word that God used for them to determine the tithe. Increase would be considered income. Increase would be considered financial enlargement. For example, almost everybody in here gets a paycheck. Okay, and so we know what that 10% is. But sometimes you get increase that's not your paycheck. Maybe somebody gives you something, or maybe you get extra money from some aspect, and that's increase to you. I see that as God blessing me, and I see that as biblically responsible that I bring a tithe off of that. Now, I may not be required to give off of that an offering or something, but if somebody gives something, I always extra. I bring that tithe for what the Lord. That's what increase is. Anybody else? Okay. Does the deducts on the check count against it? Does it count on? Oh, you mean gross or net? Is that what you're asking me? I get that. That is the number one question I get from people. Pastor, do I tie it off my gross or off my net? Yes. Yes, really. Time to go talk to somebody else. I tie off my gross. We're benefited by that. I don't find anywhere where we're said, hey, take all your deductions and then give it. I just believe that my God's big enough to bless me off that gross. Amen. That's kind of what we do. All right. Any other question? This is good for our church. This puts us on the same page. Two things. Benevolence is a word that you need to be familiar with. You can, most of the time, if you'd like to do that and you want to do something, most of the time people come to me and they say, Pastor, this is what we'd like to do. And I'm looking for it. Then when it comes through, when Mary comes and says, we got this money through benevolence, I'll say, okay, I know where that person has a desire for that to go. Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody else? All right. If there's no more questions, that means we know the answer. Helpful or not helpful? Helpful. Let's be on the same page. Let's make sure. We got questions. We want to make sure we do what God has us do. Listen, we are a tremendously blessed church. Tremendously blessed church. I would not do this tonight if I didn't know that you would receive it in the spirit of which I would bring it. And I love you for that. And pray. Next week, we're going to have our Faith Promise Missions card come out. Pray as to what, and we got to redo the card to make it simpler and all that. But begin now to pray what God would have you do for worldwide faith promise. Pastor, what if I'm not doing it properly right now? How do I get where I am doing it properly? Good question. Great question. Here's what I would do. If for some reason you're not doing it properly right now, according not to my opinion, but to the Word of God, my advice to you is to get in a quiet place with the Lord. Tell the Lord, Lord, I didn't know I wasn't doing it right, if that's the truth, and ask Him to forgive me for that, and then begin to do it right. Pastor, I'll have to make some big changes in my life. Listen, it's more important that you're right with God than whatever changes you need to make. I'm telling you. You read Malachi. Great, 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 great verse and the promises that are attributed with that. And so then also understand our church as to what we're doing. All right, let's pray.